We were going to be preaching on this week. The title of the message, I Am the Resurrection and the Life, I believe is possibly the most powerful of all the I Am statements found in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. This is the fifth of the I Am statements. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the door. And I am the good shepherd. And here he says in verse 25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, Jesus made this statement in the context of raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. And we looked at that story last week. And when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was claiming to be the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Christ. And there is no eternal life apart from Christ. Now, beyond that, Jesus also was making a statement concerning his divine nature of who he was. Now, he does more than just give life, because he is life. And therefore, death has no ultimate power over him. Jesus gives the spiritual life of those who believe in him so they can share his triumph over death. Believers in Jesus will experience resurrection because, having the life Jesus gives, it is impossible for death to defeat them. The fact that Jesus rose again means for each of us that there is life after death. And that's the good news today, and that's what I hope that you get encouraged with today. How many have lost loved ones before? I've lost mother, father, all four grandparents. I've lost almost every aunt and uncle. I've lost loved ones. The encouragement I have today and the hope I have is that one day I will see them again, because there is life after death. That's the good news. That's why I think this is the most powerful of all the I Am statements that Jesus made. Because all of us have a sadness in our heart at one point of losing someone we loved and cared about. But we can take the hope and the encouragement that one day there's going to be a resurrection where we will see them again, because Jesus has defeated death and the grave. Now, right now in Houston, Texas, people's lives and homes and businesses have all been totally wiped out by Hurricane Harvey. We all know this, but yet people are cleaning up and going on. Why? Because built in the human spirit by God is the fact that somehow and in some way it can all rise again. It can be resurrected. That too late is not too late with God. And so we keep moving forward, because God can raise anything at any time. Jesus said, those who believe in me, I am the resurrection and the life, and though they die, they will live again. Now, that statement was made to Martha, whose brother had died. Now, she had faith to believe that her brother would rise again on the resurrection day in the future. But Jesus wanted her to have faith for today, that he could do something at that particular moment. See, most of us have faith that, you know, one day God is going to resurrect something. God wants us to have faith today that he can resurrect something. Okay? Now, Jesus was not just giving her hope in regards to eternity for her brother, but for the situation right now that she was in. And that's the good news today. That is encouraging, that we don't have to wait for some distant future, some expectation out there in the past, or way out there further along. Jesus wants to give us hope for right now. See, Jesus corrects her, showing that victory is a present reality, and that he wants to do the same for us today. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Yes, we have eternal life and we're going to experience that one day. But Jesus wants to experience his power and his abundant life right now. And he was telling Martha, yes, your brother's going to rise on the resurrection day, but I'm going to do something for you now, not later on down the road. Now, today, I want us to look at the three resurrections that occurred in Jesus' ministry. And I want to relate to those three areas of life that we will all face at some time, and that God will bring resurrection to them. There was three occasions where Jesus rose people from the dead in the New Testament. The first one we're going to look at is the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. Now, this is found in Luke 40 through 56, so if you want to write that down and look at it or read it some other time. But in case you're not familiar with it, Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He had a 12-year-old daughter that dies, and he's on his way to find Jesus. And in between, when Jesus comes to his house, there's another healing that takes place, and it's the woman with the blood flow that touches Jesus' garment. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touches me? I perceive power left me," if you remember that. Then all of a sudden, he continues on with Jairus. He gets to his house, and when he gets there, the people say, "She's dead. I don't know why you came." And he's like, "She's not dead. She's just sleeping." They ridicule Jesus. He throws them all out of the house, and he brings her back to life. How many of you are familiar with this story? Okay, if you're not, Luke chapter 8, you can read it on your own time. Now, let me say this. Any parent here knows and understands what Jairus is going through. And this right here, the resurrection of his daughter, is the returning of vision. Ray, if you'll bring that up for me. The returning of vision. Because if you know what it's like, what I would say, if you have a child, of what Jairus had to be going through. Because contained in that little girl's life was dreams and visions. Maybe Jairus had a vision of his daughter growing up into a beautiful young woman. Or maybe a vision of her wedding day. A vision of holding his grandchildren. I see Aaron today with his beautiful daughter sitting back there. And you probably have hopes and visions and dreams of what that life's going to be. That's what Jairus had. He had a 12-year-old daughter, and all of a sudden now she's dead. His dreams and hopes were shattered at that particular moment. So many visions and dreams were laying cold on that bed of his daughter. As life drained from her body, also life drained from his visions of what he thought life could be like. See, all of us will have or will experience similar situations. Life source of our visions may be contained in different things like our finances, our relationships with others, our church life, our job security. At some time, your hopes and dreams were in something. Your vision of what you thought your life was going to be like was in something, and it died. And you thought, there's no more hope, and there's no more dream, there's no more vision because it's dead now. Let me give you the example of our children as we see with Jairus' daughter. You see, many of you may have a son or a daughter or something that hasn't died a physical death from a physical disease, but what about their attitude disease they have? Or you struggle to communicate with them? Or you see them wandering down the wrong path of life? The vision, the dream you had for them, you see is dying. Anybody been there before with a child? You had a different dream, a different vision for their life than what it is going. That's why I love the prodigal son. There's so much imagery and underlying truth there. Here was a father seeing his son leaving home, its values, its belief, and beginning a life of waste. Everything he hoped for his son, all of his dreams, all of a sudden he sees are leaving home a waste. In modern times, if this was said today, he would have been getting text messages or Facebook posts about his son's condition. He would see videos of his son on Facebook drinking and out in the bars and all the places that he shouldn't be. But I love this. When the son came home, the father saw him afar off. You know why? Because he was looking for his son on the horizon. See, he had a belief in a resurrection that it was not too late for God. That God could do something, that God, with his hopes and dreams in God, that God could change the situation, and he does. And we all know the end of the story. He ends up killing the fatted calf, throwing a party, and celebrating that his son had returned home. See, his hopes and dreams, he thought at one point had died, but God resurrected him when his son came home. God can do the same for you. See, whatever your life source is, whatever your visions and hopes are in, if it lies cold and dead, and all possibilities gone, I believe what the Lord has to say is, don't be afraid. If you believe in me, I will raise it back up. See, Jesus had a totally different perspective on the situation. When he arrived at Jairus' house, to the people, when he arrived there, the girl was dead. But Jesus said she was sleeping. See, he had a different perspective than they did. And I believe for us to see our visions and our dreams resurrected, we need to change our perspective. We have to move our vision from an earthly source to a heavenly source. We rely on so much when something dies in our life, whether it was a relationship, a friendship, a job, whatever it is, thinking that we can change it or that we look for circumstances that are going to change it. And we're looking at earthly things, and Jesus is the one that can change the situation. See, for the disciples on the Emmaus Road, how many remember the story on the Emmaus Road? There was two disciples after Jesus is crucified, and they leave Jerusalem. If you remember, all the other disciples are hiding in the upper room because they're scared. But two of them decide, we've had it. Our hopes and dreams, everything we thought was going to be in Jesus, and now he's dead. We're not staying here anymore. We're going home. Our visions, our hopes, our dreams are dead now. Our life, we have to move on. And as they're on the road to Emmaus, all of a sudden Jesus appears and they don't realize it's him. And then all of a sudden their eyes are opened up and they see that it's Jesus. And they went from Jesus of Nazareth on Good Friday to realizing that this is the Son of God on Resurrection Sunday. And you know what they did? They ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell everybody what they'd seen. See, their hopes and dreams were dead. Their vision of what they thought life could be like was dead, but all of a sudden when they encountered Jesus, he raised it back up. And Jesus can do the same in your life today. The second resurrection was of the widow Nain. I want to make sure I'm saying that right. Nain, N-A-N, Nain, N-A-I-N, Nain. Her only son. How many of you are familiar with this story? It's in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 17. Jesus shows up, touches the coffin, the sun raises up, and he's brought back to life. This is regaining your future. So we had Jesus restoring your vision. Now we have regaining your future here. For the woman in this story, her husband had already died, and now her only son is dead. It means her future is very grim indeed. Because in those days, women had no other means of support except through the male members of their family. And for this woman, both now were dead. Her husband and now her only son. And with the passing of her only son came also the passing of any viable future. See, she would have had nothing. Her mourning and sadness would have not only been for her son, because I'm sure she loved her son deeply, but it was her only son. And also that once the funeral day was over and people and the crowds were gone, she was going to be alone with nothing and no future. That had to be just weighing on her to think that there was no hope for moving forward. See, for this widow, her future required that her only son remain alive. Let me ask you today, what is it in your life? What are you requiring to remain alive for your future to exist? It may be your job, maybe your house, your retirement fund, your spouse. See, if that thing was taken from you, that thing that was to die in your future was to vanish, then you will know and understand what the significance of resurrection is, because you will need something to be resurrected for your future. Because it's not too late with God. See, David in the Old Testament had his future prophesied over him. Remember, he was told he was going to be the next king. And yet, time and time again in his life, that future seemed dead and buried. Yet David was able to write these words in Psalms 31, verse 15, "My future is in your hands." We remember Abraham. He was prophesied over, and God told him that he would have a son and that his descendants would be as the sand of the sea. And yet for 25 years, it seemed like that hope and dream was buried and was dead. And then remember, when he does have the son, what's God ask him to do with that son? To sacrifice it, to bury and kill that vision, that future. I mean, here is his future, and God's asking him to kill his son. Everything was prophesied over him. God was going to take it. See, I think it is symbolically significant that this resurrection of this widow's son, it says this. Ray, if you'll bring up Luke chapter 7, verse 14. Listen to what it says right here. I think this is so important. "Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, And they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. See, I think it's significant that Jesus touched that coffin. What do you need touched today that you want God to touch and bring back to life? See, so often our funeral is not in the hands of whatever we think it is. We think it's our job, our retirement, our home, our spouse, whatever it is, our government agencies, you know, our education. If we could just get a college degree, or if we bought a house, whatever it may be. Now, your future is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And if he decides to touch something, it can be brought back to life. See, those things may die and fail to pan out. You may have 4 or 5 college degrees and be unemployed. You could have the biggest house and lose it. You could have the best job and get laid off. Those things may not pan out. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. I'll tell you that. Let me tell you, in 1998, I had a business. Had to close it. Things just happened, and after a period of time, I had to close it. I had 2 small children, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, living in 600 miles away from here. And I remember renting a U-Haul, driving here with no job, no place to live. I didn't even have a car. I had to rent a U-Haul to get here because I didn't have a car to drive once I got here. Not having any idea what my future would look like. Everything that I thought I could put my faith and trust into was gone. I had $200 to my name with 2 kids in 1998. No job, no place to live, and no car. And it took me almost 100 of that in gas to get here because we had a flat tire. We hit Hays, Kansas. Our tire on the U-Haul was flat. It was on a Sunday. No place was open. Imagine me and my wife and 2 kids sitting in the U-Haul. We sat for, I think, 6-7 hours till we finally got someone to open up a shop and fix the tire, and we had to pay for it. We had nothing, no future, no hope. And then God showed up and resurrected things that were dead. You may be sitting here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Ed, you don't understand my situation. I have nothing going for me. There's nothing in my life that's been good, or I don't have any type of education. I don't have any silver spoon. I have nothing. There's no hope for me. Turn to Isaiah 53. You think your life is bad? I want to read to you something here in Isaiah 53. In verse 1 it says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when you see him, there is no beauty that you should desire him. He is desired and rejected by men, or despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Does that sound like somebody that's got something good going on in their life? I mean, first of all, Isaiah is talking about Jesus right here. And it says that how well do you think a plant grows in dry ground? Okay? Not very well. Matter of fact, in some translations, it uses the term sterile ground. Ground with no life-giving properties. And yet, this is how Jesus came forward. See, Jesus, as our example, grew into his future, not because he was in the right societal soil, not because he was in the right educational environment, or the cultural conditions were perfect for him. No, because the arm of the Lord, the hand of God, was on his life. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care how bad you have had it or how bad your circumstances are, if the hand of God touches you, anything can happen in your life. And we see this young woman's son dead, and when Jesus touches his coffin, all of a sudden he is risen back to life. And when Jesus touches whatever situation you need resurrected, it can come back to life. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have or what you don't have. I don't care about if you don't have anything in your bank account. God can bring anything back to life. I'm standing living proof. Living proof that God can bring anything back to life. Now, if your future right now appears totally messed up and you don't think it can be turned around, let me say this. Resurrection Sunday is here. It means that you can put your whole life in God's hands and he can start and make something very good out of it. Ray, bring up chapter 18, verse 3 and 6. I want to show you something, how God can take something that is going the wrong way. Maybe you say, Pastor Ed, my life is going the wrong direction. It's too late. I can't change it because I'm already heading a certain direction. Let me show you what it says here in verse 3 through 6. Then I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the hands of, or in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God's saying that life was going a certain way. Your life was this way. It was marred. It was messed up. But yet the potter decided to make it into something else. And God says, can I not do the same thing that this potter just did? Can I not take how your life is messed up and marred and reshape it into another vessel and give you another type of life? God can do it at any moment. At age 11, my life was going a certain direction. I lost a mother. My father died when I was 4, and I only knew life a certain way. And there was no future. There was no hope. But God took me and molded me and took a broken vessel and put it in a different situation. And I went to live with someone else, and my life went a totally different direction. God at any moment can intervene in your life and give you the future you've always dreamed about. We think that our future is tied to certain things. At any time, God can raise something else up. And that's the hope we have today. Last thing. The third resurrection was Lazarus, and that is John 11, 1 through 44, and you can read it. If you were here last week, we preached on it. But the Lazarus is the restoring of faith, is the restoring of faith. See, Jesus heard Martha and Mary's request for him to come, but he did not answer them as they wanted or in the time frame. Has God ever done that to you with your prayers or your requests? Not answered you the way you wanted him to or in the amount of time you wanted him to? God, why are you waiting on this? Why don't you just answer it now? Or why don't you just fix the problem now? Or Jesus, I want you to do it this way, but he doesn't. That's what they were experiencing right here. And because Jesus didn't answer their prayers like they thought he should or would, faith was lost. Listen to some of the statements that were mentioned in those verses. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary said the exact same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. The mourner said, why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? It was all statements of lack of faith. Their faith had been lost. What, Jesus, if you would have been here, things would have been different. I've lost faith in you now because you didn't do it the way I thought you should have. I've lost faith in you now, Lord, because you didn't show up on time. You're at fault, Jesus, because if you would have been here, things would have been different. And I love what happens. Jesus stands before the tomb. And with a loud voice, listen to what it says in John chapter 11, verse 42. It says, and I know that you will always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus prayed out loud because he wanted everyone to hear that, God, restore these people's faith in me. They've lost faith. I want you to restore their faith. Remember the time Jesus heals the epileptic man and he said, all you got to do is believe? And the man said, help me with my unbelief. That's where these people had gotten to. They had unbelief. Anybody there today? Were you expecting Jesus to do something and he hasn't done it yet? You're still waiting for something to be resurrected? You thought it's dead, that it's been buried? This right here, the story of Lazarus, helps restore our faith in God because he can raise it up. Even though it's not the way we want him to or in the time we think he's going to do it, he still comes through. Now, you might want to write this down. I love this. Faith stands not on answered prayers, but on announced words. But on announced words, Jesus announced that he was going to come forth. And that's where you put your faith in. When Jesus announces it, not on answered prayers. Because does God always answer all your prayers? The way you want them? In the time frame you want them? No. That's why you lose faith. It's on the announced words that you can put your hope and trust in that Jesus or God has said it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live again. Jesus may not have come through the way you wanted him to, but he is still I am. Your family member may have not been healed and might have died, but Jesus is still I am. See, the bill may be overdue and Jesus didn't come through with the finances the way you thought, but he is still I am. The person is still getting on your nerves at work and God hasn't changed them, but he is still I am. Hebrews 6, or chapter 11, verse 1 and 6 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. See, the substance of the Christian life is the evidence of the Christian walk is faith. God wants us to believe that he is, not in what we see or have. He wants us to just believe that he is. That's hard at times to put our faith in that. See, you may have lost your faith today. God did not come through the way you want him to. Well, maybe your faith was not built right. Maybe it was based on what God could do for you rather than what God wants to be to you. I want to say that again because I want to make sure you get this. Your faith might have been based on what God could do for you rather than what God wants to be to you. He says, I am the resurrection and life. Believe no matter what. That's it. You just got to put your faith in that. But someone here might say this, Pastor, my life is too messed up. God can't do anything with me. Pastor, my life is too far gone. I've been living like this for too long. God can't change me. Pastor, it's just too late for me. God can't save me. I'm going to share one more story with you if I can have the worship team come up. On Good Friday, there hung a thief with Jesus on the cross. A messed up life, and it was in the last moments of that life. Many would have said that it's too late for him. Here he is dying on a cross. But as that thief hung alongside Jesus, with one of his final breaths, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I want you to notice a word in that sentence, and it was the word when. Not the word if you come into your kingdom, but when you come into your kingdom. See, he was expressing faith in the resurrection that it was not too late for God to do something with his life. He believed that Jesus would rise again and be on the right hand of God. He would come into his kingdom. Not if it would happen, but when it happened. And he is with his last breath, Jesus says this. He responded to him, and I believe he wants to respond to us today. I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. It is never too late with Jesus. Lazarus was dead and buried for 4 days. Jesus rose him up. The thief in his last breath gets saved and gets to spend eternity in paradise. It is never too late for you today. Never too late. Young man, D.L. Moody, when he was young, was called all of a sudden to preach a funeral sermon. And he hunted all throughout the four Gospels trying to find one of Christ's funeral sermons. But he searched in vain. He found that Christ broke up every funeral he ever attended. Death could not exist where he was. When people died and heard his voice, they sprang to life. Today, Jesus is saying, arise. See, resurrection is the assurance that with God, it's not too late. And so you can have the vision and the dreams that you've had. You can have the future that God wants you to have. And he can restore your faith no matter how far gone you are. No matter how much you've given up, God can bring it all back to life today. Amen. Would you stand with me? God, we thank you that it's never too late with you. Father, so often we get down on ourselves, and I believe it's lies of the enemy. We think we've messed up too much, or you just don't care enough anymore, or that we just are not good enough. But Jesus, you're always there. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And I believe, as your word says, that you have a future and a hope for us, that you have plans for our lives. And sometimes we may get on the wrong path, but you can always bring us back. You can always raise that future back up that you had for us. You can always bring those plans back. And Father, we need to know that, that even though we might have messed up, even though we might have blown it, that you're still in control, that you have the power to overcome the things that we've messed up. And that if we will just believe, as you told Martha, do you believe this? Father, do we believe today that you can raise up things again? That we thought there was never going to see them alive again. We thought there was no hope in them again. But you brought them back. So, Father, help us, as the man said, help us with our unbelief today. Help us trust and believe that all things are possible with you. And Jesus, as those people with Martha and Mary and everyone started doubting, you wanted to increase their faith. And so you cried out to the Father and said, do this so that they will believe. And Father, I believe you want the same thing today. I believe there's those here today that have lost faith. They've been trusting and believing and hoping for something to happen, and it hasn't yet. And I believe, Father, today the word you want for them is to hold on, that you to not stop believing, that you're coming. Father, just as you did with Lazarus, it was 4 days after he was dead, but you showed up. And Father, I believe you want to show up for each individual today that is holding on to hope. And so, Father, I pray that you will encourage him today, that you will help their unbelief today, that they will leave here with an increase in belief, that their faith will grow today. You've told us we have a measure of faith, but Father, give them more today. Allow them to leave feeling that there is hope in their life, that things are not over, that it's not too late. So, Father, we bless you and we give you all the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.